The first reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Of course not. For I too am a child of Israel, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Hence, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall? Of course not. But through their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is enrichment for the world, and if their diminished number is enrichment for the Gentiles, how much more their full number? I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you will not become wise in your own estimation. A hardening has come upon Israel in part, until the full number of the Gentiles comes in, and thus all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, he will turn away godlessness from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. In respect to the gospel, they are enemies on your account, but in respect to election, they are beloved because of the patriarch. For the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. The Gospel reading is from St. Luke, chapter 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honour at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honour. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes in to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It's not just a recommendation about etiquette at banquets, how to respect the pecking order, to take a lower place in the hope of being moved up higher, rather than taking a higher place with the fear of being moved down lower. It raises some fundamental questions about grace, about election, about being seen by God. Questions which are raised also in the first reading. The first reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 11, is from that section of Romans where Paul is very passionate as he reflects on the position of Israel, the position of the Jewish people, now that Christ has come and the gospel is being preached. What is now the pecking order? Who is entitled to be at the banquet? This is one question we can reflect on. Who is entitled to be there? Well, nobody is entitled to be there. Nobody has a right to be there. Presence at the banquet, participation in the banquet, comes about as a result of a call, of grace, of an invitation. One of the difficulties we experience is that we inevitably end up looking at the other guests and comparing ourselves with the other guests and wondering where we stand by comparison with the other guests, when what we ought to be doing is remembering the host, looking to the host, the one who has invited us, the one who has made it possible for us to be at this banquet in the first place. So these are the themes that work through the two readings today, the one from St. Paul and the one from Luke's Gospel. Has God rejected his people? Paul asks in the first reading. Of course not. The phrase he uses is almost equivalent to "don't be ridiculous." How could God reject his people? God is always faithful to his promises and to his call. So have they stumbled so as to fall? Not at all, he says. Of course not. Don't be ridiculous. And yet he does talk about a kind of fall, at least on the part of some of Israel. But a fall which is for the salvation of the Gentiles and ultimately for the salvation of all of Israel. All of Israel will be saved. We can say that what we're seeing in the way Paul presents the gospel and its implications for the Jewish people, for his own people, is a kind of reverse eschatology. Whereas in the Old Testament, among the prophets, it was proclaimed that Zion would be restored and then the Gentiles would come in. Paul is saying God has intervened again, God has done a new thing, and he has reversed this. And now the situation is that the Gentiles will come in and then Zion will be restored. So the order in which things were meant to happen, the restoration of Zion, the coming in of the Gentiles, has been reversed. The Gentiles have been called in. The gospel is being preached to the whole world, not in order to exclude the Jewish people, not in order to reject the Jewish people, but so that the same fulfillment can be achieved. Now, in this order, the coming in of the Gentiles and the restoration of Zion. He talks about gifts, he talks about coal. He talks about a call which is irrevocable. The call is the invitation to be in the presence of God, in communion with God, sharing God's life. And God remains always free in this call, while he remains always faithful to this call. And God is creative in working with his people, we can say, in finding ways in which his intention, his desire, his destiny stored up for them will be achieved even in spite of them, even with them taking wrong turnings, with them misunderstanding, with them lowering their eyes, lowering their sight, and looking more at each other and at other people than looking at him. The gospel reading presents us with people who are watching each other closely. They are watching Jesus to see what he will say, what he will do. He notices them. He is watching what they're doing and how people are choosing places of honour at the banquet. When you are invited, the Greek term is the same as the one Paul uses in the first reading when he talks about the call of God. When you are invited, when you are called, when you are summoned by God, when you encounter Christ, don't jump to the conclusion of James and John, for example, that this is some kind of entitlement to honour and prestige. Sit with him in the lowest place, the place taken by Christ himself, who came not to be served, but to serve. Respond in that way to this call. Sit among the humble, not among the exalted, because that's the place that is closer to Christ. And the same Greek term which Paul uses for the call of God, which Jesus uses for the invitation, is the same term which is used for the host, the one who invites, the one who calls. Friend, go up higher. In one sense, it will not matter what our position is, what the pecking order is in the eternal kingdom, in the kingdom of Christ. There, everybody is a firstborn son and a citizen of heaven. And those who have been admitted to that place have only one preoccupation. They have only one focus. They have only one concern. And that is the love of the one who has called them. The love of the one who has invited them. The beauty of the one into whose presence they have been made able to come. So they're not going to be looking at each other. They're not going to be comparing themselves with each other, seeing who is higher, who is lower in the presence of this love, this eternal and infinite love, which is the love of the Blessed Trinity. Then these distinctions, these pecking orders, these sources of division between people, these jostlings for power between people, these comparisons between people, all fade away as the communion of saints rejoices in the love of the one who has redeemed them, in the love of the one who has called them together, rejoices in him and in each other, all who are called to share the glorious banquet of the eternal kingdom.